Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Zechariah, Chapter 10, Perek Yud. Our learning is dedicated to the Zchut of Chayalei Tzva Hagana Israel for their safety and for their success, for the swift return of all of the hostages and the healing of those wounded in this war in Gaza. Chapter 10 depicts God's power in returning Israel to their land, Kibbutz Galuyot. It depicts the victory over our enemies. In the first verse, we see God's power and how he can change the weather. Shalu me'ashem matar, ask rain from God, Beit Malkosh. At the time of the latter rains, Hashem oseh chazizim u'matar geshem yitein lahem. He'll make thunderstorms and he'll rain for them. So God can bring the rain. But in verse 2, in Pasuk Bet, he says that all the fortune tellers, the trafim, all the wizards, the oracles who sought to tell the future, they all failed to predict the future. Ki ha-trafim dibru aven, v'ha-kosmin chazu sheker, v'chalomot ha-shav yidaberu, hevel yinachemu. The oracles spoke in delusion. The wizards predicted falsely. The dreamers speak lies, and they console with illusions. What lies are they speaking? Well, we know that throughout Bayit Rishon, all of the false prophets promised good, promised optimistic futures. But as we read, the leaders failed to lead and the kingdom failed, right? That's what it says. Al-kein nasu kumotzon yanu kiein ro'eh. Right, my people have strayed like a flock. They suffer for lack of a shepherd. I was angry with the shepherds. This is fascinating. There is a sugya mesechet brachot about dreams. Are they true or not? And they quote our pasuk. They quote the pasuk, "Hachalomot shav yedaberu," that dreams speak falsehood. And there's a fascinating discussion here in the Gemara. Amar Shmuel says, "Ki havichazi chalma bisha." When he saw a bad dream, he would say, "Chalomot hashav yedaberu." He'd say, "Dreams speak lies." When he saw a good dream, he'd say, "Bachaloma daberbo." God is speaking to me. The question is, you know, there's a verse which say that God speaks through dreams, and there's a place where we say that dreams are nonsense. So, what's the truth? Rava said, "Bechaloma daberbo." That means when you hear something through a malach, "Bechalomot shavi daberu," when they speak falsehood, that is when you are communicated to by a demon. Very interesting. Who knew that demons come to us in their dreams? But in the end, the Talmud concludes that kol hachalomot holchim achar hapeh. Whatever interpretation you give to the dream, that's what the dream means. In other words, we determine what dreams are. Nothing is predetermined. Now, why am I getting involved in this discussion apart from the fact that it mentions Al Pasuk? Let me quote from Rabbi Sacks. He writes, "This is a fundamental feature of Jewish spirituality. We believe we cannot predict the future when it comes to human beings. We make the future by our choices. The script has not yet been written. The future is radically open." And I continue with Rabbi Sacks. There was a major difference between ancient Israel and ancient Greece. The Greeks believed in fate. Once the oracle had been spoken and fate had been sealed, all attempts to avoid it would be in vain. This cluster of ideas lies at the heart of one of the great Greek contributions to civilization, tragedy. Astonishingly, biblical Hebrew has no word for tragedy. Judaism has no word for this because we do not believe in fate as something blind, inevitable, and inexorable. We are free. We can choose. End of quote. And of course, Rabbi Sacks' wonderful line, "Judaism is the defeat of probability by the power of possibility." So this is the idea that Hatrafim Dibru Aven. All of those oracles speak falsehood. You can't predict the future. Hachalomot Shav Yedaberu. Don't think you can determine the future. Now, if you read the rest of the chapter, chapter 10, it promises great miracles. It promises the return of the exiles. It mentions Ephraim and Yehuda. And it mentions the demise of Egypt and Ashur. And here, there's a really fascinating debate. It's a debate which spans Perek Tet to Perek Yudalad, chapters 9 to 14 of Zechariah. And a wonderful summary of this debate is found in an essay by Rav Yishayahu Hadari, Zichrono Livracha, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat HaKotel. The question is very simple. Are these chapters written by the same Zechariah that we've been reading for the first 8 chapters? Is it the same author as the Second Temple Zechariah? Well, why do I even raise the question? Well, the problem is this. Our chapter's talking about Ephraim, and if Zechariah, as we know, is talking in the second year or the fourth year of Darius, that's 520 BCE, Ephraim hasn't existed for 200 years. And Ashur, Assyria, is long gone. And for this reason, there are some commentators, for example, Rav Yitzchak Reggio, or the historian Professor Zev Yavetz, and many, many traces in Midrashim, that suggest that these are early prophecies. These are prophecies which, you know, exist from a time 200 years before. Now you might ask, what are they doing in the book of Zechariah? Well, here's a wild suggestion. Our book is by Zechariah ben Berechiah ben Ido. But in Sefer Yeshayahu, from 200 years before, we have somebody called Zechariah ben Yevarechiahu in chapter 8. So if that would be true, we would have 6 chapters that take us back in time to Yeshayahu when Ashur was at its height, and when there was still hope that Ephraim may be victorious and Ephraim and Yehuda could unite, and that the exile might not happen. And then what do we say, that somehow the two could have gotten mixed or edited into the same book? Now I admit this is rather extreme. So there is, thankfully, another alternative opinion. And that opinion is that Sefer Zechariah is, in fact, a unified Sefer. It has the same author. This was backed in academic world by Professor Kasuto, by Professor Khartoum. And it's probably the most straightforward opinion. But then what do we do with these prophecies about Ashur, about Ephraim, that seem anachronistic? What do we do with that? Well, I guess what we'll have to say is that they express some sort of prospect of Acharit HaYamim, of the end of days. Now you'll have to say, you know, so then why is Zechariah talking about this? And we're going to see that all of the chapters have this end of days feel, but why now? Why is Zechariah predicting now the return of Ephraim and Yehuda? Why is he predicting glorious military victories and God drying up the Nile River if it didn't happen? And I return to our discussion about fate and choice, because it seems like these, for Zechariah, were real possibilities in his time. We know that the Mishnah in Maseches Sanhedrin talks about whether there is a possibility of the return of the 10 lost tribes, and maybe in the time of Zechariah they were still dreaming of that. In other words, the possibility was present right then. And this takes us back to our discussion about fate and choice. You know, Rav Kook wrote the following, and I quote, "B'nevuat Zechariah nichnalu ha'yildim ha'krovim, sh'ayu muchanim lavo b'imei b'ayit sheni, v'im kol zeh b'ha'azon gam la'atid, sh'ayah rachok az." In other words, and I'll try and translate, that the prophecies of Zechariah included something that might have transpired in real time during the Second Temple period, but obviously didn't transpire. However, these things will come true at some distant time. In other words, there is a future of the Jewish people, a future of national revival, the challenge of national unity, the defeat of our enemies. Prophets saw this as part of the future of the Jewish people. When will it happen? Where will it happen? This has many, many possibilities, like dreams, right? They depend on how they are actualized. And who knows? Maybe these are the events that are happening around us right now, today. Who knows? That's it for today. See you tomorrow.